Well, praise the Lord. Those wonderful truths we've been singing about. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Well, I would certainly echo what was said at the beginning. This is the day they celebrate mothers. I don't have a message particularly along that line, but we certainly appreciate and respect all of you and recognize, as something we've said in the past, that all of the things that positively contribute to what to motherhood come from the Lord. They are a reflection of His nature, because it's not just men that are in the image of God, it's both of us. We share that, and we each share parts of that. So we appreciate you. We would honor you today and ask that you continue to look to the Lord. Well, praise God. It seems like the more we go, the more we discover, number one, our weakness, number two, His supply. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We shouldn't be dismayed by that. We need to be just thankful and looking to Him and knowing that He's on the throne. My mind keeps coming back to a passage that we've talked about many times and used many times, and that's in Romans chapter 5. And it seems like there are truths that we need to hear a lot. I don't know that I'll say anything particularly new today, but I feel like it's something we need, and even the songs that were sung and were requested kind of reflect, I think, where a lot of us are at. And the Lord wants to encourage His people and just help us to walk in trust and faith. Paul begins this passage basically with a summary of what he's talked to up to this point, in which he has unfolded the facts of the gospel. He defined everybody's need as being the same without regard to whether they were Jews trying to follow the law or Gentiles who hadn't heard. We all have the same need. And if you go on in this chapter, you discover why. We were born into a family of sinners. That's why we sin. We're not sinners in God's eyes because we commit sins. We commit sins because we're sinners. So God's got a major job to rescue us from that condition. But the starting point for that is that we have a record of sins that separate us from a holy God. We can't have a relationship with Him and have all that guilt hanging around us. And, you know, I keep having something come back to my mind, I guess, in different aspects of it, and that is Pilgrim's Progress. Many of you are familiar with the work by John Bunyan, which, while he was in prison for his faith in England, he was in prison there, and God gave him this amazing picture of the gospel and of the Christian life. And it begins with a man whose name is Christian, but he lives in a bad place, a city of destruction, but he has this huge bundle on his back, a tremendous burden he's carrying around, and he's the only one who seems to be aware of it. Everybody else is just living their life, and he has this the knowledge of this burden. Where do you think that came from? You know, if nobody comes to the Lord until they know they have a need. And how do they know that? God has to intervene in the matters of the heart till we realize we've got a need. And not only that, it's a need we don't know what to do with. You see him getting sidetracked in despair, sidetracked in legalism, where somebody says you keep the law and all it does is make it worse and leads into a bad place. But ultimately, he came to a place where he entered through a gate, didn't he? And he went along, and the Lord began to teach him some things. But anyway, you know, we have to have a divine encounter. There has to be something more than hand-me-down religion. Folks, that's my prayer, and I trust it's the prayer of many. For our younger generations, our following generations, if all you have is our way of doing church, you have nothing. You need an encounter with the author of life himself that's personal, that goes right down to the depths of your being. You can conform all you want, but if it doesn't touch this, you're no better than the Pharisees were in Jesus' day. But this is what he's laying out. And he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now, justified means to be, it has to do with a legal standing. How in the world can a hopeless, helpless sinner come to a place of being righteous in the eyes of a perfectly pure and holy God. That's the miracle. That's the miracle of the gospel, folks. Anything short of that, and you have nothing. There's so much that purports to be the gospel in our world today that's little more than just a form, an easy believism where you just say the magic words and suddenly everything's okay. Folks, there has got to be a life-altering encounter with the living God that convicts us in our hearts, but then it doesn't stop with conviction, thank God. It then lifts our vision to God's answer, to an answer we could never engineer, we could never come up with. Praise God. That's what Paul's been lifting up. Like I said, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. The need is exactly the same. And God made a promise to Abraham that he was a righteous man when he had done nothing except believe God. Folks, it comes down to that simplicity of a heart faith. It's a belief in God where our confidence, our life trust, the thing that we hope in, the thing that gives us meaning in our lives, that defines who we are and where we're going, is a conviction in the heart. And as we said many times, you can't come up with this. You weren't born with it. You can't work it up. It's a matter of simply opening our hearts when He speaks. Oh, how plain the Scripture is that when He speaks, we need to listen. Oh, we need to listen. Because God is absolute. I mean, who are we to sit there and say, God, I don't care about you. I don't want to listen. I want my own way. That's the condition the world is in. So much of it. Just refuse to hear His voice. But I thank God. I'm in a company of people. I believe so many of you have heard His voice. And you've answered the call and said yes. Thank God. You know, He says, we're justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we who were, as he later describes in this passage, enemies of God have suddenly come into a state of peace, a relationship. We have literally changed sides. It's as radical as it gets. I know I'm repeating many things, but I believe there's a need, there's a reason. I don't know where all this will go. Folks, there has got to be a radical change from being a part of the kingdom of this world and living our own lives and surrendering and handing over our lives to Jesus Christ. Indeed. Praise God. You know, my mind went back to that song, The Mercy Tree. I may remember the testimony of the young lady who was just living a life. I don't remember all the details, but she was at a point where she was ready to take her life. Her life had had so little meaning. It was just so empty, and somehow the Lord engineered her hearing the gospel, and the message penetrated the depths of her heart. She heard not just the voice of the preacher, but she heard the voice of the Savior. Oh my, have you ever heard His voice? That's the most important thing that could possibly happen to a human being, is to hear the voice of the Son of God. Isn't that what Jesus said? The hour is now, it has come, now is. Those who hear the voice of the Son of God will live. They that hear will live. And I probably confusing this with different testimonies I've heard, but basically the word that came to her was she was ready to go home and take her life. She'd already made the plans. And the Lord said, if you're going to throw it away, how about giving it to me? And she did. And you see the result. Someone who's just filled with the joy and the reality of the mercy tree that has opened a way into the holiest place. Thank God. Thank God. I pray that everyone here has had that encounter with Jesus Christ. The very thing that transformed Paul's life from Saul the Jew was not somebody explaining the gospel to him. It was so much deeper than that. He had a divine encounter with the God of this book. I mean, this book is wonderful, but it's not those who read the book. It's those who hear the voice of the Son of God. And there was that personal encounter that bypassed every bit of his defenses and went to his heart. And his own testimony was that the same God who spoke and light happened. He created light. He created the worlds. That same God spoke in my heart to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The words are not exactly right, but you can look it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What an awesome testimony of the essence of coming to faith in Him. Praise God. That's the foundation of everything, isn't it? Because there's no living the Christian life if you aren't a Christian. You haven't really become. You haven't entered into what He's talking about here. Anyway, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So basically, here we were, lost sinners with no strength, no ability to erase our guilt, no ability to live for God, even if we could have erased our guilt. There we are in that helpless state. And now we've come into a place that is described as grace. And it's almost like you can picture a wall or a room or a door. I know when Bunyan wrote his tale, Christian entered into a gate and he came to a place where he needed to learn some things. You remember the house of the interpreter? And he was shown some spiritual truths that were pictured for him. And one of those truths showed a castle. And it was obvious the castle was a desirable place to be because there were enemies everywhere. But in there was a sense of somebody was in charge. There was victory. But in between where they were standing and the castle, there were a whole lot of dark figures with swords. Anybody have an easy time coming to the Lord, or you run into some opposition? Yeah. I'll tell you, the folks who enter the kingdom of God, you're going to enter it through much tribulation. There's going to be some opposition to you coming to the Lord because your nature is going to cry out and demons will stand in your way and they'll pull on everything that they can think of to keep you. And in the particular illustration that Christian was shown, he saw a man who went and signed up. He said, I want to go in there. And he picked up his sword and he began to fight. And it was a fight. He slashed this one and slashed that one, and he forced his way on through, and he went, and there he was. He went through the door. You know, salvation may not be as dramatic as it was in the case of Paul, but there is a point in time when we pass from death to life. I'm trusting everybody here has passed from death to life. But if you haven't, do you want to? Do you want to know Him? He wants to know you, but I'll tell you, there's every hungry heart, everyone that'll cry out to Him, He will hear and answer your prayer. If you're wanting, as we've said this in different ways many times, if you're wanting God to lay His cards on the table and say, this is what it means, and, you know, do you go along with my plan? That's not the picture. This is absolute surrender to the God who made you and the Savior who bought you with the price of His blood. Is that worth something? That's worth everything. Everything. Praise God. So anyway, I was picturing this place, into this grace. So here you've got a place where this principle called grace reigns, if you will. I'm not here trying to make something happen in my own strength, but there is divine help. That's one simple way to describe what grace is. It's God at work injecting His life and His energy and His influence, all of those things together upon me where I've stepped into something where even though I don't have what it takes, anybody here does? I don't. Here we come into a place where we do not have what it takes, but all that we need is supplied. Praise God. Praise God. You think of what Peter wrote at the beginning of 2 Peter. I can't remember the exact words. I'm going to try to give you the essence of it. But he spoke of those exceeding great and precious promises that by them we have access. I better look it up because I'm not... Oh, basically, the thought that he gives is everything is provided. Everything we need for life and godliness. That was the part that I was trying to get to. Do you know that though we have nothing to offer Him but ourselves, He has given us how much? Everything we need for life and godliness has been given to us. Those are the promises that God longs for us to enter into. That's part of this place that we go through. We pass through a door, and now we're in this place called grace. You know that little grammar lesson, we've had one before, but this, we've gained access into this grace. That's that perfect tense in Greek. And the Greek perfect tense is really like the same in English, but essentially it combines something that has happened in the past. There's an event that's happened in the past, but we're still enjoying the fruit of that. Now, basically, I could say, I see that you have come to church today. I see that you have come in through the door. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying sometime prior to right now, you walked through that front door. But I'm not just simply talking about a historical event. I'm talking about the fact that as a result of that, you're still here. So it combines all of those things. I'll tell you, when we've come through that door, we are in a place where we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. And God wants us to know that, wants me to know that. But he wants all of us to know that and to be reminded of it every single day. Praise God. Praise God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. So that means we're still here. By faith into this grace in which we now stand. Ooh, that's a good word, isn't it? Praise God. We're able not just to, okay, I'm here, I'm worthless, but I'm here. No, we can stand. Just like Paul said when he's talked about the weapons of our warfare and all of that. We have, having done all, having used what God has given to us, we stand. Praise God. All right? So now what? And we boast. Now this is not a boasting, prideful kind of thing, but this is a confidence. This is something where I can stand and I can say with absolute certainty something. Devil, I don't care what you say, this is true and I'm standing on it. This is my boast. This is my confession, if you will. It's another good word for it. Okay? And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And hope, as we've said so many times, is not this wishful thinking kind of thing. This is an expectation that has to do with something we haven't got it yet. It's in the future. But what is it that makes that future certain? It's a certainty of God. It's a certainty of God's promise. You read Hebrews 6 and you see the anchor that holds the soul. What is it? Because God, who cannot lie, has promised. There's something that hasn't happened yet, but we know that it's coming. So we're stepped into a place, and we've come into a place that we don't deserve. We stand before a holy God as if we had never sinned. It's not just, it's not just this theoretical thing. This is a losing of that burden, because that was the picture. After Christian, left the house of the interpreter and went a little ways further, he came to a little hill, didn't he? What was on that hill? It was a cross, wasn't it? And as he knelt there and he looked up at that cross, what happened to his burden? It fell off his shoulders and rolled off into a swamp. And he went along and he wasn't carrying the burden anymore. I'll tell you, that's a pretty good picture of somebody who has genuinely transferred all of their faith into Jesus Christ and believed in what he did, that he bore our sins in his body on that tree. He didn't go there for his own. He went because of mine. And I put all of my confidence in what God has promised that he's done for me. And I'll tell you, that's the glorious thing. Not just some sort of theoretical knowledge of the legalities of it, but the actual burden of my sin is gone. The sense of all that has separated me and kept me in a state of feeling like I'm worthless, it's gone. I'm a child of the King. Praise God! Praise the Lord for the gospel and the hope of the gospel. That's what Paul is lifting up here. That's what makes him able to stand there and I'm boasting, not because I'm anything, but because of God's promise, the hope that he has set before me. Praise God. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. All that lies beyond is just described as glory, which is a brightness beyond anything we can imagine. That's just one way to describe what's coming. Okay? But how many of you know what the road is that takes to get there? Okay, that's where Paul is going to begin to lead, go forward into the road that has been set before us. Boy, we sang a lot of songs about that this morning, one way or another. Praise God, Lord's trying to get my attention and say, yeah, this is really what I want you to talk about. So he knows my own weaknesses, but I praise God for his faithfulness. But here's the thing, you know, we've just give a couple of examples. You know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the truth of the fact that God is light and we're called to walk in that light. And one of the results of that is it's going to show up things in us. Some things that we were not really willing to call sin, but we need to come to a place where there's an honesty. And if it doesn't stand up to the light and it's not like him, it's sin. But then he doesn't leave us there, does he? He calls upon us to come and agree with God about it. Hand it over, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. It's not just for mercy and forgiveness, it's for cleansing. So that we can go along with him, continue to walk in the light with a holy God, and have no sense of guilt or worthlessness. Because he has given us everything that we need. He's cleansed us from that. And how much the Lord wants us to come to that place where we're not offering him the cup of our lives and it's dirty. They're dirty. But rather, there's a cleanness that he has cleansed, and we're offering him something that's clean and honest before him. Well, that was one truth. And then last week we talked about God's work in us and what he wants us to produce in us, but then the fact that in order to make us like his son who didn't live for himself but sacrificially gave himself for others, he's got a lot of work on his hands. And that work isn't just to make it possible for us to do it, it's to work on our will so we're willing. Because everything that comes from Adam in our lives resists this process. And so he's got to first work on our wills until they are broken down and become willing. But then when we become willing, now you get the other issue, am I able? And of course, then he supplies that, doesn't he? Thank God. But you know, where I kind of got into this is this. One of the things, obviously, that we need in the Christian life is knowledge, isn't it? And so I believe many times the Lord is just giving us knowledge. Isn't that what Paul prayed over and over again? I pray that God will help you to grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I mean, if we're just ignorant of what God wants and how it happens and what the Christian life is about, obviously that's not going to work very well. But just knowing about it is not enough. God wants a people who have this by experience. I believe, how he puts it this way. When God's worked in us and we've walked out our salvation, what happens? We become lights. We shine like the stars in the darkness. Now, do you suppose that is a light of somebody who's learned all of the proof texts can explain how it all works? You see the problem? We've got to get from that knowledge to something that is, that has some power, has some light to it. And let's see if I can come up with what I thought about calling this. From test to testimony. God wants a people who have a testimony about all of these things. How do you get there? Again, you don't learn this in class and then you're fully equipped. God wants a people who have been there and done that, and I won't add got the t-shirt, but you know what I'm talking about. Seriously, God is looking to bring us not just into the knowledge of these things, but the experience of these things. And that's real easy, isn't it? That's a walk in the park. No, it isn't. You know, another thought that I had leading into this, really, is we have so many wrong ideas that come from, really, they all come from our old nature, as to what it means when things are good. You know, we have a way of saying the sun's shining, it's wonderful, it's good. It's stormy out, that's bad. What are we judging that by? We're judging it by things that please us in some fashion. We associate so many earthly things, feelings and circumstances with things being good. But we bring that over into our spiritual lives more than we would like to think. And I think many times when we hear the secrets of the Christian life, we imagine that there is this magical place that we get to where all of the battles are over. Everything is wonderful. We just break into this wonderful place where life is good. And by good, we mean there's no opposition. Everything is wonderful. Is that how it's meant to be? That's not the picture you get in the Scriptures. I'll tell you what. And Paul wrote to Timothy at the end of his life, after all of his own experiences, which he enumerates in many places, what does he say to Timothy? Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So there are battles to be fought. I was thinking about how Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, he left the cross, and I won't go into all the details, but basically, you remember what followed in the journey? The hill difficulty. And man, he was literally at point, it wasn't something you could walk up or hike up. This was something where he had to do some climbing. This was tough. Thank God the burden was gone, but still it was a tough fight to get to the top of that hill. How many of you come to the Lord and found it's immediately easy? No opposition. The devil loves to oppose, doesn't he? And God is always going to put something in front of us that needs to be overcome. Does he ever leave us to our own resources to do that? No. Thank God. That's the awesome balance of the gospel. But here he was having to climb. And then when he got there, he had gotten misdirected at one point, had to go back and all of that stuff. I won't go into the details. But anyway, when he got there, it was dark. He got to the top and there was this castle up there. And it looked like that was a wonderful place to stay and spend the night and all of that. But there were a couple of lions. There was a narrow path that was led into the castle, and there was a lion on either side. Now, what he didn't realize was those lions were chained. And he had a nice little path right through the middle. Somehow, along the line, he got the faith to say, well, I've got to go in there. And so he stepped very cautiously right through the middle between those lions and went in. But the place of that castle was a place of comfort, of pleasure, if you want, of ease, not in a wrong sense, but it was a place where he could truly rest and learn. And I believe many times that there is a place like that. God brings us to many kinds of places. Some of them are places where we can find rest and recovery, and we learn things, and we get trained, and we become prepared for things that are going to happen later. And that's what happened. He learned many lessons about the journey that he had set out on. But how many of you remember one of the major things that they gave him while he was there? Any of you ever read it or seen it? It was a suit of armor, wasn't it? They took him into a special room and they made sure that he had every piece of armor that he needed. You know, I thank God that he's given us how much of what we need? Everything we need. Just sang about it, didn't we? Thank God. And so he gets this armor, and finally he's ready. And they've told him, they've warned him about this, and taught him, told him about that, and what it takes to walk this way. Remember what happens next? When he left, he walked down this valley. I think it was the Valley of Humiliation or something like that. He walked down a precipitous drop into a low valley, and what happened when he got there? He met a terrible opponent with a flashing sword. And that opponent was self. And he had to take a stand against self. And it was a bloody battle. And he was wounded during it. But he prevailed. He used his armor, used his sword, and God gave him the victory. And he got up and he went on. And many other things. I don't need to go through the whole story. But there he was, being equipped. God wants to equip us, folks. But we need something in order to get to a testimony. We have to go by way of a test, don't we? Everything that God wants us to be able to speak with our mouths that's going to make a difference to somebody has to come from something. It's not just that we take proof texts and that's all there is to it. We've got to have lived it and experienced it. So what is involved in that? Listen to how Paul puts it. This takes some faith, doesn't it, here? Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. How many of you got to that point? We kind of have some growing up to do, don't we? But what's really behind all of this is someone who is not just saying, oh, I love to suffer. This is awesome. He's looking past all of this, just like Jesus did on the cross. He was able to do what he did. Why? For the joy, not of the experience, but the joy that was set before him. You see, starting out with a hope that's based on a promise of a God that you have had a personal experience with, and faith has been planted in the heart, and it's there, and it's real. Now, in the strength of that, we have the ability to go into something that is difficult, but we can see beyond it. We're always focused on the fact that this leads somewhere. This is not meaningless. God's not gone to sleep. He hasn't thrown me to the wolves. I'm here, and yes, it's difficult. But what is the essence of suffering? It's anything that challenges human nature. It could be pain, obviously. But every single thing that is a challenge to human nature. Do you think God's going to put you in a place where you're going to be tested? Of course he is. He did it to his son. Was there no purpose in his going into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Yeah. He was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. In order for him to be able to do the work that he'd been called to do, he had to go through some stuff, and he had to be tested. And that's exactly the path that God is going to set before us. And when these things happen, we don't need to see them as, oh my God, things are bad, they need to get back to being good. There are seasons when God does give us those good times. But the seasons when we're having challenges, when our nature is crying out against what's happening, is that good or is that bad? It's good, isn't it, if we could see through God's eyes. And so now we've left the castle and we're having to go out into the real Christian journey. And Paul had come to the point where he saw past all of this and could actually say, I glory in this because I know that God is doing this not because he's upset with me. He's doing this because he loves me enough to deliver me from the power of this thing that has more of a hold on me than I realize. He's having to strike a lick here and a lick there and a stroke here and a stroke there to begin to touch these things that I need to be set free from. And the only way it's going to happen is he's going to have to let stuff happen that brings me into that contest between, am I going to trust God and serve him, or am I going to just give into this? And this, what does that call for then? Do we just throw our hands up. You know, that's what some did when Jesus talked about the parable of the soil, different types of soil. There was one type that was very quick to receive the message. Oh, the idea of forgiveness of sins and a hope of heaven, that's awesome. But what happened? There was a hardness down in the heart that had never been broken up. No roots went down when the seed was planted in that soil. And so when persecution and hardship and difficulty came along, didn't sign up for this. Folks, if you signed up for the kingdom of God, you signed up for the whole deal. It means laying down our lives, whatever form that takes, in order to possess a life that we can never lose. Thank God. Thank God. So Paul wanted to transmit to his readers here in Rome how he saw the things that he'd been through. Now, we're talking about from test to testimony. Do you think Paul's words carry just a little bit of weight? Yeah, just a little bit. Just a bit. Why? He'd been there. God used him as a demonstration of what it means to serve the Lord. Not only that, but somebody who could come through that and be better because of it. And be able to stand there and say, God is faithful. I was in this bad place and this bad place, and he was with me all the way. I have come through stronger. He has made me better and stronger to serve him. And I'm telling you, not just something I read in the book somewhere, I'm telling you something, I've been there. I've experienced this. That's what God is seeking from every one of us. He wants to bring us to a deeper experience. So when we tell somebody something, we're not just saying, oh, the Bible says. We're saying, let me tell you what God's done for me. Let me tell you what it's like to serve him. He's awesome. Okay? So we glory in our sufferings. Now, there's a reason we do that. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. The thing is, if we don't give in, if we're trusting God and looking to him actively for the strength, see, we're in a place of grace, remember? The help is there. If we're willing, the help is there. And so he calls upon us to, in the face of this, to look for divine strength, not to try to find it in ourselves, but to learn how to look to him. And what happens? There's a quality called perseverance that gets stronger, just like muscles. I mean, if you want to be a world-class weightlifter, you don't spend your time in the, you know, the fast food place. You don't spend your time at the beach just lounging around. If your muscles are going to be worth anything, they're going to have to encounter some serious, persistent resistance. Well, the Lord knows what it takes for us to have spiritual muscles. And he knows exactly how to design things. But you remember what he said? He won't put on us more than we can bear, is how we put it in our language. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape so that we may be able to bear it. Not escape it necessarily, but to bear it. That means I have divine strength. I've got a problem. Maybe he may have sent the devil and allowed him to do something. But who allowed him? You think the devil has freedom to come and do as he pleases? We serve a God who's in charge. If he has sent a devil to me to harass me and to give me a problem, I have every right to look to God and say, Lord, you have given me this, but you are also with me. And I am trusting you for the strength to stand fast and to believe you and to praise you in the midst of this storm, whatever it is. I'm going to stand. And boy, there's some spiritual muscles that are beginning to get stronger. There's some experience that we're beginning to acquire that has everything. I mean, it's worth everything. Okay? Suffering produces perseverance. Well, now, perseverance produces something as well, doesn't it? It produces what he calls character. I think another translation says experience. How many of you need some experience in the Lord? How many are willing, ready to sign up for the process that gets you that experience? See, we'd like to avoid all of that and think something's wrong when difficult things happen, when adversity happens. But here's God sending us the one thing that can enable us to grow up in Him, is some form of adversity. But in everything, He means for us to turn to Him, to stand fast and look to Him, and in doing that, there's some character that's being formed. There's people are going to be able to look at us and say, yeah, I know what they're like. I've watched them be in a difficult place, but they didn't cave. They didn't give up. This is somebody you can count on them. They've shown me what it's like to be in a place of action. How many of you would like to, you know, we got some people that have been in the military, and I never had that privilege. I respect everyone who has been. But how many of you think we could successfully fight a war by recruiting a bunch of young men and taking them into a classroom and then handing them all the stuff they need to go out and say, all right, go fight? You know, I think I've the testimony of some that recently went in, it was they used the word hell as to their immediate experience of what military life was like and the training that went into it. Do you think there's a reason for that? Do you think we're equipped in the spiritual life without going through boot camp? Spiritual boot camp? Without having to face any real enemies? And I'm the victor, I'm the victor. Have you ever faced anybody? Well, no, but I'm a victor. God is going to put you and me in exactly what we need in order to become the people that He wants us to be. Thank God for His love and His wisdom and His mercy, because we would not go that way. And as I say, we are so prone to just imagining that, oh, this is what spiritual life and spiritual victory is about. It's wonderful feelings, it's joy, it's freedom, it's all these glorious things. And sometimes we're singing through tears, and we're standing and we're looking to God and we're waiting. Sometimes we can be in the place where David was, and he said, how long, O Lord? And yet there was an expression of faith, even in the midst of praying, O God, where are you? How long is this going to go on? But the Lord knew, didn't He? Praise God. But God is trying to produce some characters. Now, I know some of you are characters, but in this case, He's talking about something different, isn't He? He's talking about the kind of a person you and I are. How do we become that? How does He take somebody who's just come to the Lord and come to faith, and they're baby Christians? How does He produce somebody in them that you could characterize as faithful? There's somebody that's been there and fought real battles, and they know what it takes, and they know how to encourage other people. How does God produce that? How does He get you and me to a place where we could talk to somebody else and say, I don't just know the theory of the gospel. I serve a God who has worked in me and made Himself known to me, and He has brought me through all kinds of things, and I want to tell you what God's like. I want to give you not just a theory, but a testimony. But you don't get to testimony without the test. Okay? Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. You know, I was thinking about this as I read this. It starts out with hope, and then it gets to hope again. What's that all about? I thought we already had hope. Do you suppose hope needs to be made stronger? Do you suppose it needs to be confirmed by real life experience? That's what's going on. I'll tell you, you come through something, and you're able to look back and you say, God allowed something, it was difficult, but I stood fast and I trusted in Him, and He was faithful, and He brought me through. What does that do to hope? All it does is confirm the hope that God planted in there in the first place, and it gets stronger and it gets stronger, and you see what we have to give to somebody else. It's not religion and theory. It's real life experience. May God raise up a generation of people who know Him, who have a foundation planted in their hearts and their lives. God is not looking for apologists, but that means people who just defend the faith intellectually. He's looking for people who know from real life experience. Don't have to be super intelligent, don't have to be important in the eyes of the world, But you know God personally, and you've been through something, and you can tell him, I've been there. I've been where you're at, and God was faithful. That's worth immeasurably more than theory. But God is raising up a people in this hour who are going to shine like lights. But this is the road that it takes. This was the road that it took Christian to get from the castle, beautiful, whatever it was, all the way to the celestial city. He went through a lot of battles. He went through some nice places. He went through the valley of the shadow of death too, didn't he? And it was hell. I mean, there were demons screaming at him. It was a dark and dangerous place. Narrow path, but he stayed the course, and he came out the other side, and the sun was shining. I thank God he knows when to let the sun shine and when to let the storm hit. But he's always with us, always holding our hand and making us stronger. And hope does not put us to shame. Again, we got a God who cannot lie, who's promised. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, has been given to us. Praise God. I mean, you could go on into this whole passage and see as Paul unfolds the mysteries of the gospel, it's amazing and clear. I thank God. But I thought about the examples, and one of them certainly is David. Examples we've used many times. But what was it that enabled David to write the Psalms? Did he go to Bible college? I mean, I'm not against that. If that's what, you know, the Lord can get in it and get beyond just reading books and having theory. David went through hell. He went through the valley of the shadow of death, but he also knew that the Lord brought him out on the other side. And he could, it wasn't like, I know God's going to be with me. I know this is going to be terrible, but I know he's going to be with me. He could look back and say, yeah, that was rough, but God was with me, and here I am on the other side of that thing. That's what makes the Psalms so powerful. They are the voice of experience, and God wants to give us just what we need to fill our place in the kingdom, where we can look somebody in the eye and say, this is not theory, folks. Let me tell you what the Lord's done for me. Let me tell you what he's meant in my life. Let me tell you about the places I've been and the things I've experienced and what he did for me. It's real. You can trust him. Just a few verses of Psalm 40, for example. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. Now, for him to be lifted out, he had to be in. God allowed him to be in a place that he describes as a slimy pit, mud and mire. But what was the end result of that? His feet were on a rock. How did that happen? He set my feet on a rock and gave me, I didn't earn this, he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts the Lord. You sense the testimony of somebody who's been in that dark place and seen God at work. Praise God. Praise God. That's what God is trying to produce in us. He is producing it. Let's put it that way. But do you see how this follows the Lord giving us some secrets about the Christian life, and now all of a sudden, okay, now what? How do we get there? How do we come to a place where we know this is true because we've experienced it? You've got to go through something that's going to be adverse. Because everything about your nature and mine, the one we got from Adam, is going to fight this. And it's going to fight it in ways that are going to surprise you. You're going to come to places in your life where you say, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know I felt I was like this. But God is so merciful and faithful. He knew it all along. He has loved you all along, even though he knew all of that stuff. My God, what a God we serve. And what an amazing thing it is that, what's his motivation in all of this? It's love, isn't it? I'll tell you, I can surrender and serve one who loves me like this. Well, one of the other scriptures I was going to read a little bit of was, guess what? Psalm 34. Surprise, surprise. Just a little bit of this. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Now, is that a testimony? There's an ability to exhort somebody else. Where does that come from? Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. But here's where it comes from. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. See, it was some real fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Do you see where test turns into testimony? We stand fast. We look to the Lord in those times, and faith grows strong, and suddenly we can look somebody in the eye and say, I know this God. This is real. You can put your trust in Him. I've been there. The angel of the Lord encamps round those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His holy people. For those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Of course, that's where that line of that song comes. He gives you everything. He's not talking about earthly pleasures and riches. He's talking about what Peter was talking about. Everything we need for life and godliness is there for us to earn if we'll only try hard enough. No, He gives it to us. What He wants is for us to come into possession of that. How do we do that? We're going to have to come into it in the field of battle. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of eternal life. There are things that we have the privilege of making our own, making them personal, and it simply means walking with God, surrendering to the things that He brings our way and giving Him praise and standing firm in them and knowing that God's going to impart something to us we didn't have when we went into that. And we're going to come out the other side and say, I know this God. You can trust Him. He is my God, and I'm going to stand fast. And my hope, I had hope before I started this, but it's gotten stronger. The habit, the character, the way I look at life, the way I look at myself, it's gotten more firm than it was just simply knowing about this. I knew about it. I heard sermons about how the Christian life works, but now I've been through stuff that was very personal. A lot of people didn't even know what was going on, but I knew about it. God was touching things in my heart and bringing a deliverance to me that I couldn't have any other way. And now here I am on the other side of that. Yes, I fought Him. Yes, there were things in me that resisted, that struggled. But He gave me the victory because of He's given me everything that I need for life and godliness. And I've, like the Israelites, I've come into possession of this city and that city because the battle was His and He'd already given me the land. He just needed me to have the faith to stand, to move forward and know that He was going to fight this battle with me because it wasn't my battle, it was His. I'll tell you, we've got an awesome God, don't we? So, do you see where the Lord is taking every one of us from test to testimony? And God is going to have a people, like I say, in this hour, who have a real living testimony, who know God in a personal way, have been through things, and know that He's faithful. What else is going to be able to help somebody who's in need? Are we going to convert them to our religion? We need Jesus to come. We need God to reveal something to the heart. But I'll tell you, God's going to use people in the process who can speak a word of real testimony that comes out of real experience with God. God is faithful. He has given us everything, but He wants us to come into possession of more than we have. And He's doing it. To Him be the glory. Praise God.